Okay, so before we look at the Bach, I just wanted to take a minute to look at the Tshuva of Rav Ben Rambam. I think it's good to frame the issue because, as we've talked about, right, the simple understanding of the Sugya is that Chadash is going to be Aser even in Chutz Laretz, and even if it belongs to a non-Jew. Right? That was basically how the majority of the Rishonim understood it in the classic sources before we look at the defenses. And we said that part of the reason that, as we'll see, many of the Mefarshim go and look for defenses is that, well, everyone was eating grain that was ostensibly, at least Suffolk, Chadash, and they wanted to defend it. But before we see the defenses, it's worth noting that even those who Paskin L'chumra were aware of the cost of ruling L'chumra, right? This wasn't like there were people who lived in cultures where it was easy to keep Chadash because there was everything was winter wheat and they said it was mutter, right? Sometimes people will try to have a historicist argument like this, right? Like, oh, people who lived in cultures where it was easy to keep Chadash, so it was easy for them to say that it's usser and that there are no kulot. And those who were living in Europe where it was hard, so they come up with kulot. But that's not true, right? So if you look at this tshuva of Rav Ben Rambam, there's technically more than one tshuva, but just look at one. So Rav Ben Rambam, I sent it to you on WhatsApp yesterday. I sent you both the text version and the a link to the Hebrew books. Like I said, on the on the Hebrew books one, just ignore the Arabic, unless you know Judeo-Arabic.
I dabble.
What?
I dabble sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same as regular Arabic, because then you could ask Yaakov. But, right, Yaakov? Right. But medieval Judeo-Arabic is not his expertise.
Not at all.
So Rav Ben Rambam was asked, he said, Ashela Revi'it Hizkartem. The fourth question you asked me, Yatzlich Lachem Ha'el, may God grant you success. Shezera Hatzvot Eino Etzlachem Ba'ona Kvua, Veshatzvot Yizra B'zmanim Shonim, V'tikzar Pam B'kayet U'pam B'choref. Where the grain is picked at different times. Some is winter wheat, some is summer wheat, spring wheat. And things only last for a few months after they're cut. And then it gets wormy and it spoils. And therefore it's hard for you. And so Rav Ben Rambam is asked, it's hard. Most of what we have for most of the year is chadash. So what are we supposed to do? So what does he answer? So, as I said, he's aware now of the difficulties. We're not talking about someone who isn't aware of the difficulties. He's aware. And what does he answer? Yeah, or, too bad. He says, "Ukvar yadatem she'ezer chadash asura d'oraita v'asir lakelbo." I'm sorry. It's hard, but it's a biblical prohibition. What do you want from my life? V'chol t'v'wachin izra be'aretz lefnei pesach. G'dash er sheba aretz lefnei shishasar l'nisan mutar l'ochla. Achar shishasar l'nisan luvnei galut achar shivasar l'nisan shadino kedin shishasar nisan.
Where do you live?
In Egypt.
So you say that his whole life?
Well, yeah, I think so. Right, so he says, if you, it's usher in Chutz Laretz.
Is there a winter in Egypt?
I assume similar to here. I don't really know.
Yaakov.
So he says that look, it's usher until the 16th in Eretz Yisrael and 17th in Chutz Laretz. V'chol t'vuash in Israel v'lo k'dash yishev eretz lefnei shishasar nisan moshgen etc. He goes through all the details, and if you just skip down a few lines, he says, "V'ein li pater misudo reitas behinat slut shetvuah aretz mekalkel." Don't try to get out of it through your apologetics. It's saying, oh, well, it's hard and grain spoils. He says, you're going to tell me it's hard to keep chadash, hilchos chadash and yashan. You're right. The harder it is, the more reward you get. The Mishnah in Perkei Avot, the more the pain, the more the gain. V'yadua shatvuah shanoskim bakani chamishet minei dogon shnei minei chitin zorin shlosh v'emu for some v'etel komi shatuk balacha. We're talking about the five grains. Hachitim sorim kusmin shibulat shuah v'shifon v'zorzim midaraita. Va'inyan hazeh ba bekabala beferush bepasuk v'lechem v'levi charmel. Right? It comes from the pasuk. And from how Chazal understood it, etc. So again, before we look at some of the Heterim, Chaim. So if we look at while we're looking at the Heterim, we need to keep in mind that, right, it's not like the people who were Machmir were unaware of the difficulties. Right? They're aware, they just say, but you know, sometimes. What can you do? You know what, Yosef, can you do me a favor? Can you get me the box of Honey Nut Cheerios? Because I noticed on mine at home, I'll see if it's here also, that it says on it, Yitzur, or you can bring me both cereal boxes, for all I know it's on both, but I noticed it on Honey Nut Cheerios at home this morning, so I meant to actually take a picture, but maybe it's on this one.
It says
Yitzur Chad, right, Yitzur Miyuchad, it had to be a special run, Liloch Shash Chadash.
Oh. What's that? The special run was...
I don't know. I noticed this on mine. I don't know. There. I'll see. It might not be on this one. But if it is, I'll show you. Right? I can find it. I'm capable.
Well, I was curious if I would find it before.
Right? So you'll see. It was on mine at home. So here. Yeah. Right here. Right? Kashir Parafa. Right? Now, this makes sense because this one looks like it's an American Eksher. So this might not be the European one, right? Let's see. No, sorry, it's a French one. This is the French one.
European.
And it says, well, this one's French. And it says, Yitzur Miyuchad, right, a special run, or a special made, Lo Chash Chadash, with known concern of Chadash, right? So this is, right?
This one doesn't say this. This is also a dairy for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Oh, so good, it's here too. Right, so it's, right, meaning, you know, it's one of those things you need to pay attention to if you wanna do it. That hasn't changed. Okay, but that's enough for the Machmirim. So we've established firmly why you would want to be Machmir. So now let's try to explain where the Kulot came from, because as I said, despite everything I've just said, the Minhag Klal Yisrael, definitely in Ashkenaz, was to be Mekel. Okay? At least on Suffolk. Okay? So we are going to start with the Tshuvas Maharam Mirotenberg. Now, technically, as I sent you a note yesterday, this is not actually the Maharam Mirotenberg. The Maharam Mirotenberg sometimes contains, the Tshuvas Maharam Mirotenberg sometimes contains Tshuvot from contemporaneous Rishonim. So if you look at the signature on this one, it's from Baruch Bar Shmuel. Right? The last line is Baruch Bar Shmuel. So, quickly, of the tshuva, this was the source sheet I sent out. If anyone wants, I can print out a hard copy for you guys. And I know you guys don't mind looking at your phone all day. It drives me nuts, but... So if you look, right, I sent you the biography here. So, who's the Maharam Mirotenberg? Him we've definitely mentioned before. Who's the Maharam Mirotenberg?
This guy.
Oh, the guy. Great, thanks.
European country.
He's a very important German Red Balat Tosfot. Very good. He has three very famous Talmidim.
The Rush.
The Rush, very good. Ben Usher, who else?
The Rashba.
No, that's...
No,
that...
no, not the Rashba. Wait a second. The Rush.
Is it not
No. Rabbi Mordechai ben Hillel, known as the Mordechai.
I was thinking.
And the third is?
The
goat.
That goes minus.
Right? Those are his three, right? I've mentioned this before from Professor Kanterfogel, that what's common of the three Talmidim, of the three main Talmidim of Rami Rundberg, the three most famous, anyways, are that what all of them wrote their Perush and attached it to Svaradi Halachic works. Because it was the end of the Ashkenazi heyday, and basically after that they all left, right? The Rush moved to Spain because things were so bad in Germany. So the Rush and the Riff are both attached. The Rush and the Mordechai are both attached to the Riff. And the Gotmaimini is obviously attached to the Rambam because this was part of keeping the Torah of the Baal HaTosfot alive even as they were leaving Ashkenaz. So that's the Maharam for you, and obviously, you know, I think we've mentioned the story of his death. Right, where he was kidnapped for ransom and refused to let them redeem him, because he said, right, the sugya says you're not allowed to redeem captives, yosemi deik demehen, because you're going to, more than their value, because you're going to encourage people to kidnap more. So he died in prison because he refused to be redeemed. Only after his death was his body redeemed. He's an amazingly important Risha, and as you've probably heard from me at this point many times, my oldest son is named from Maharam Rutenberg. Right? We've been through this many times. This particular tshuva is not from... It's in the collection of the Maharam Rutenberg, but it's by Baruch Bar Shmuel, who is a student of the Reb Elazar of Metz, I believe, and therefore a second-generation student of the Rite. He is... Right, he dies 1221. He lives in right Mainz. Okay, so that's who we're talking about here. So we're talking now. If he died 1221, so we're talking late 12th, early 13th century. Is this Shiloh? Okay, yeah. So okay. It's pretty early. Meaning, Rambam and Rambam is also pretty early. Rambam and Rambam is, I don't know what the exact date of this tshuva is. Meaning. The Rambam is 1140 to 1205, so Rambam and Rambam, Nagid, also similar time period, right? End of the 12th, beginning of the 13th century.
The Urzaruah is the same time.
Yeah, these are all like similar periods. So that's what we're talking here, but now we're in Ashkenaz, right? Now we're not in Sfarad, we're in Germany now. We're not in Egypt, where Avraham and Rambam is. So this is how it goes. So he says, "Ra'iti bnei Adam she'enam rotzim l'shod sheichar se'orim bnei Yisrael chadash." Said, "I've seen people, and we'll see that in Ashkenaz, for some reason, what they're most worried about is beer. Don't ask me why, but this is what everyone is most worried about is beer." Well,
very important.
It is. I mean, it is. Beer was very important because people didn't really have water so much because water was often contaminated, right? So alcohol would clean it. So there was a heavy beer culture for health reasons. This is true in the medieval period. No, seriously.
For health reasons.
No, seriously. But like, you know, I know it sounds funny, but like in the medieval period, like that was, you know, kids also, like you couldn't give them water. It was infected with all types of stuff. So they would drink wine, they would drink beer, right, depending on where you lived. But alcohol was the go-to. So they're asking about beer. Imination Isra, Achara Pesach, Vein Mishayat Yiram. He said, "We have a problem. Beer. What are we going to do?" So he says, "Veli Nira Lahatir." So here we go for Hatirim. So number one, suggested by Rabbi Baruch, Rabbi Baruch Hashmuel in the Chuvas Maharam, Veli Nira Lahatir, Mehode Garcinan, Perek Kama de Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which we've alluded to several times, I think we at least saw it once inside. I don't think I put it in this Rosh sheet. But it's the same questions we saw in the Yerushalmi. What did the Jews use for the Omer when they moved into Israel? V'im tomer da'ayil bi'ad goy. If you'd say it was from a goy, k'tzir chema machman v'lo k'tzir goy. You can't use for the Omer that which was cut by a goy. Risham yesh ledakdik detua hagdela bi'ad goy. Omer. So he said, from the Bavli's version, it sounds like you could argue that it doesn't apply to that which belongs to non-Jews. Even if a guy cut it, this is what he wants me to die, so we'll see that he's going to go back on it. And he says, and even if it grew, Bereshut Yisrael and Chutz Laretz near Lahatir, Shafilu Midrabanan Lo Gazru Dum Yudamayser Lo Gazru B'Chutz Laretz Ela Esmuchin Laretz. And this is his even bigger chiddush. So first he says maybe it doesn't apply to that which belongs to a non-Jew. Remember, we said there are two avenues of Heter. So at the beginning he actually takes both, and he says one is maybe it doesn't apply to that which belongs to Goy. Two. Maybe it doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. You'll tell me it does apply in Chutz Laretz. He says maybe it only applies in Chutz Laretz midirabanan. And sometimes when we extend things to Chutz Laretz midirabanan, we don't extend it to everywhere in Chutz Laretz. We only extend it to where? To the countries that are next to Israel, like Syria, right? Like all the chumras of Syria, because you might confuse it, Right? The Gemara says that Tzuria has the Kedusha Midirabbanan, right? It's certain Chumras Midirabbanan, because one of the reasons, anyways, is because since there was, it's on the border of Eretz Yisrael, so there were things going back and forth. So it was confusing. So you treat it in certain respects like Eretz Yisrael. But that wouldn't be true of something far away. So Rabbeinu Baruch has two heterim. One is maybe it doesn't apply to non-Jews. And two, maybe it does apply in Chutz La'aretz, but only samuch, right? Only next to Israel. But anything which is far away, it's going to be mutter. So those are his two attempts at heter. But he backtracks. And he says, Mihu, achagachariti birushalmi. However, the version of the Yerushalmi pushes away from this. And he quotes Yerushalmi in Arla, Ditnan kol mitzvah detului baharati nenogit el baharat, chutz min Arla vekilayim, erlozor amam rafa chadash, v'yona baikumir v'yotzi lama lo tinin af chalim ahem. Umelay, don't have a detail, v'ram anugim b'yisrael v'nohagim b'goyim, v'chal v'nein v'goyim, haray mazhu d'chadash noeg b'goyim. Right, okay, I know I ran through that, but we saw this Yerushalmi. Right, he says, but Yerushalmi in Arla says, why don't we mention Chala in the context of the things that apply in Chutz La'aretz? And what did the Yerushalmi answer? We only count things which...
What?
Right, remember the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi said, why in the list of mitzvot etluy ba'aretz that apply even in Chutz La'aretz do we not mention Chala? And the Yerushalmi answered, because we only mention things that apply to non-Jews, and Chala doesn't apply to non-Jews. By implication, what does apply to, for non-Jews? Chadash. Chadash. So, v'yesh lo mardachi kamar lefukei lechala she'ena b'goyim v'af Eretz Yisrael, mashingim b'chadash. He said, okay, let me try to tweak it. Possibility, right, three is, maybe, you, for chala, even a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael is patur. Maybe chadash is different, and it's going to be only, you're only going to be patur, completely, at least, if it's Chutz La'aretz and a non-Jew. The Ein Lidcho Dehida Rosh Hashanah V'lomar Vaday Omer Ein La'aviyah Mitua Gedel B'Shut Yisrael Ava Masha Gadol B'Shut Goy Noeg Bo Din Chodash Aleta Dimkein Maika Amar Lo Saka Dehidach Zeh V'yochol Mevoretz V'akati Avel Lemimar Delo Akrivu Mashoch Ma'achar HaPesach Zeh Lefi Sherev Hezen Mizrach. I mean, and he says, go back to the Gemara Shana. He says, it sounds like that which is a guy you could argue doesn't need any het there, etc. And then in the next paragraph, he says, the Gemara in Menachot Daf Hey talked about the Mincha as a matir. And he said, why, when it was discussing all the chidushim of Chadash, didn't it say that the Omer is matir tuat goyim? And he said, well, maybe that proves that it doesn't need hatara, that it doesn't need to be mutter, because it was never asur. And then he says, maybe not, right? That maybe you could come up with some other answer, etc. Go to the paragraph Vani Tamea. But I'm shocked. Mehadi Garcin and Berger Bishmael, Gabi Vashrihem, Tishrufu Baesh, Mich the Yerushahi, Lehem Avotehem, Vein Adam Osir Davar Shein Oshelo. In the context of a Bodhisara, we say that the non Jew, that you're in general not allowed to asser something that doesn't belong to you. So the non Jews can't asser Eretz Israel because it halachically belongs to the Jewish people. Imkein Adam Rashana Maikar Leitvua Shel Goy. My Levikis Ad Yisrael Shizara Goy. So, but now I have a problem, because then, if you hold that Eretz Yisrael is always owned by Jews, then that undermines his read in Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because
then they don't really, non-Jews don't really.
Correct, and therefore there's no such thing. The non-Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, their fields would be considered Jewish-owned fields, even if the Jews weren't actually physically owning it. And then there means no such hat there. V'hada amar prat shekatsu goyim zeu gabei leket shechav gabei sada shel goyim. What?
Even if the Jews sold it.
Yeah, because you'd say that objectively.
There's no ability to even sell.
Correct, and that's why one of the big sugyos in the background here is yesher ein kinyan legoy lafkia mikdush eretz Yisrael. So he says it doesn't that seem to undermine the point. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, right, this causes some problems for him, and he tries to defend it. So what you see is that, you know, Baruch raises the possibilities that, right, again, he's not sold on all of them, he backtracks a bit, but he raises the possibility that it would be mutter if it belongs to a goy. Mutter, definitely, if it's a goy in it, chutzlaritz. A chutzlaritz is mutter if it's not samuch laritz Israel. He seems to continue on that heter, right? He seems to think that lahalacha, we paskin that chadash and chutzlaritz is only aser samuch teretz Israel. And therefore, you have this possible heter from Aminu Baruch that maybe when you're talking about chutzlaritz, which is not samuch teretz Israel, maybe it's owned by goyim, even though, again, he has problems in this. And in the end, he backtracks and he's not convinced that you can make on that which belongs to non-Jews. Right, so again, he raises the possibility that it belongs to non-Jews, it's mutter, but he's not sure in the end, right? Because there are counterindications. As for Chutz La'aretz, he thinks that it applies in the places which are next to Eretz Israel, but he thinks that la'alocha, you can be mekil in that which is not samach to Eretz Israel, and he raises the possibility that it might even be more mekil if it's Chutz La'aretz plus non-Jew. Right, that is the position of Reino Baruch. Okay? Now, Reino Baruch doesn't really get... we'll come back to the Rush. If you look at the Drisha, look at for a moment to 10 of the Drisha. The Drisha is one of the main commentaries on the Tur. Or if you open a page of Tur, what commentaries will you see there? So, very good. So, right, the Tur is written by Yaakov ben Asher, who is, his father is?
The Rush.
The Rush, Rabbeinu Asher. So, the main commentaries that you'll see on the page are, on one side you'll see, in a classic you'll see, the Beit Yosef. On the other side you will see, the Bach. Right, so the Beit Yosef is written by, let's do Chazar on this. Yosef Kara, very good. The Bach is written by Yaakov. Which stands for Bayit Chadash, but who wrote it? What's his name? Rav Yoel Sirkis.
Oh.
All right.
I'm
proud of you. And then at the bottom you have the Darkei Moshe Hakatzar, right? It was written by Rav Moshe Isserles, also known as
the
Ramah. Right, the Ramah, who wrote a running commentary like the Beit Yosef, but we only have it on certain chalakim because he ended up not publishing it because he knew the Beit Yosef was working on his. And then you have the Drisha and the Prisha.
Written by the same person.
Very good. By
Oto Ish.
His name is?
Oto Geber.
He also wrote the Sma, Rishua Falk. Right? So he writes, Bain Bishel Yisrael Bain Bishel Akul Mashma Perakama de Rosh Hashanah de Chodesh Einu Noeg Bechod Zaretz Bishel Nachrim. Doesn't the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, as Rabbi Baruch says, right, that maybe they were able to eat from the grain that they bought from non-Jews and Chod Zaretz, doesn't that imply that if you combine the factors, non-Jews and Chod Zaretz, it is mutter? And he said there's a second Balatosvot, not just Rabbeinu Baruch who held that way, also Reb Avigdor. Who's Reb Avigdor? What's Reb Avigdor's sort of last name? Even though Balatosvot didn't really have last names. Katz. Katz. Avigdor Katz. Now Katz, he doesn't really have a last name, but because obviously it's before last names. But what does Katz stand for?
Kasher.
What does Katz stand for? What is the name Katz?
Kosher.
Isn't it a deli in New
York? For God's sake, guys. What? Kohen Tzedek. It's a Kohen name. Kohen Tzedek. So he notes that this implication is derived, is taken by Rabbi Victor as well. And the way he deals with it, he says, you're right. The only way it's mutter, it is true it's osur in chutz la'aretz, but it's only osur if it's owned by a Jew in chutz la'aretz. But if you have both factors together, goy plus chutz la'aretz, so it's not. Avol b'shal akum einu neig b'chutz la'aretz v'yachol ishtot sheichar afil b'charef. And again, just like Rabbeinu Baruch, what is Rabbeinu Avigdor trying to be matir? Beer. That's what they're... This is what they're worried about. Beer. Beer was the biggest problem. I don't know why, but it was.
Well, whiskey.
Trying to get drunk, Rabbi.
Beer. Shechar. I don't know why. Is whiskey that old, honestly?
Probably.
What?
Whiskey be 20 years old.
No. Is it... were they producing it 850 years ago?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know. When did they start producing whiskey?
Creation.
Let's see.
Whiskey.
Well, it's an issue today.
Oh, whiskey nowadays is not a big issue at all. It's years old, always. It's fine.
1494.
There you go. So they're not dealing with whiskey. That's 250 years later. They're dealing with beer. Because beer...
Very old.
Beer, everyone... I don't know why. It's vile. Absolutely vile. I know. You're British. They love beer. I know. They love their beer. I know. All my British mishpacha, it's like, you know... I just don't like the taste of beer or hard alcohol for that matter. I like wine, but I just no. I like wine. No. Yeah, this is like a just a. I don't know. It's just a taste thing. It's what you're used to, I guess. I don't know. Even though I guess Americans like beer also. I just. You're like making fun of it. It's like we have high class beer. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he writes, V'yachol ishtot sheichar afil b'chorev, and therefore you can have beer even in the winter. V'gam b'hag mashma d'chadash l'neg b'chutz l'aretz b'shal akum v'sheva mashma lehen d'aloch k'tana kama d'yulosh b'r kama d'kidushen. And he says, maybe this isn't some weird heter that in chutz l'aretz plus goy it's mutter. He said, maybe they have a much more straightforward heter, which is maybe they paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, who says the chadash isn't noeg in chutz la'aretz. So now we have a few possible shita, right? You have this possibility raised in Avigdor that they paskin, that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, right? In which case you don't need a heter. Chadash doesn't apply in chutz la'aretz. These midaraisa, right? Now it could now. That's only midaraisa. Midarabanan might apply. So for that, you have the further limitation of Rabbeinu Baruch, who says, but even when it applies in chutz la'aretz, it only applies in the Eretz HaSmuchot, Eretz Yisrael, next to Israel, but not in England, not in America, not in Canada, right? Not in France. So that is the... So the Drisha, quoting Rabbi Avigdor, will get you as far as saying that in chutz la'aretz is derabanan, which will help us a bit because then you won't have to worry about sveikot. Right? You won't have to worry about sveikot in the same way. Rabbeinu Baruch will go even farther because he'll say that even derabanan, it's only atzer samuch to Eretz Yisrael. But the other positions will at least get you down to a derabanan, at least if it's in chutz la'aretz, maybe it's chutz la'aretz. Either could be Paskin Gilazar, or because it's owned by a guy, maybe even the Chachamim or Mote, which it doesn't sound that way, but that seems to be the suggestion, which again is rejected in the end of the day, but the suggestion. What? So, right, but Darabanan might help you for Sveiko, and Rabbeinu Baruch tells you it's Lagamri Mote. Right? Because Rabbeinu Baruch says, as long as it's not Samuch there, it's Israel, it is fine.
So, apparently in the Middle Ages, doctors of that time would say beer is very healthy and it basically prolongs life and helps with immorality and stuff.
Okay, there you go. So they like beer. Okay, good. Good. So now let's try today if we can get through the Bach. Oh, good. I knew I put the Gemara in Rush on. Good. Sorry. I did put the Gemara in Rush on. That's at number 11. I don't know why I put it a little bit out of order, but it is here. So look for the Gemara that they've been basing themselves on is this Gemara in 11. The Bo Mine Mechavraya Merav Kahana, Omer Shekrivu Yisrael B'chinitzazon La'aretz Mechani Krivu. Where did the Jews get the grain when they moved to their Tzal to bring the Omer? Im tomer da'el biad nachri, k'tirchem amarach manavlo k'tirnach, v'lo k'tirnachri. If you say they got it from non-Jews, so k'tirchem amarach man, it's only your, well, you cut down a nach, k'tirnachri. Now again, what would be the way of deflecting this Gemara? So we might say, right, we might, right, so in the end of the day, but the Gemara says, first of all, you could have said that maybe the Gemara is just saying practically, they didn't have grain, right? They didn't have grain, right? The assumption here is a halachic question, but you could just read the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah as a Matzias question, which is where did they get grain? They just moved in. And you need grain from Eretz Yisrael. And to that, the Gemara answers, they got it from Goyim. And the Gemara says they couldn't have got it from Goyim. Why? Because Kitzirchem Amrachmana. But so the Reu Baruch and Rav Vigdor are saying, oh, you learn from here that the grain of non-Jews is not Asron Chadash. But remember how we're Dochedes on Pegimel? It could be that, no. You can't use non-Jews grain for the mitzvah of the Omer. That doesn't tell you that the Isser Omer doesn't apply, right? So the way to knock off this proof from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah is to say, no. The Gemara is saying, practically, where do they have grain? The Gemara said, non-Jews gave it to them. And they said, that doesn't help you. Right? Because Kitzirchem Amarachmana. And that might not be a statement about the Heter. That might be a statement about the mitzvah. That just like you need it from Eretz Yisrael, even though Chadash might apply in Chutz Loretz, the Shitas HaRambam. So maybe the same thing is true of Goyim. That the grain is Asur B'Chadash, but the mitzvah doesn't apply. So the Gemara says, Dilma lo ekrivu, mimayde ekrivu, dilma ekrivu. Besides, how do you know they even brought the Omer? Maybe they didn't. So he says, no, lo saka da'itach, they must have brought the Chteve Yochel Me'avora Aretz. So this we saw when we did Mimachara Pesach. Because it sounds like they only started eating after Mimachara Pesach, which implies it was Usher before then, so what would change it? So their solution at the end of the day is no. That basically what they did was anything that was just taking root when they came into Eretz Yisrael, but hadn't yet taken root. Right? And it had taken root but hadn't grown a shlish. Hadn't grown a third. And then the Jews took it over, and then it grew a third. It reached its third height while the Jews were owning it. So therefore, it's considered the grain of Yisrael, and therefore you're allowed to bring it. So you could read this Gemara as saying that which belongs to a non-Jew is not chayev in Chadash.
What makes it non-Jewish? Is it because the non-Jew planted it?
And owned the land, probably.
Well, if it's owning the land, then they could have just taken over the land and then...
Correct, but then the grain would have grown on land that was owned by non-Jews, so the grain would be Mashiach. So that's what many... that was already the problem that Rabbeinu Baruch had, which is, wait a second, Jews own it retroactively. So it doesn't help. And that seems to be in the end... Right now, the way to be docha this, as I said, is to say that this Gemara is talking on the level of mitzvah. Right, the Isser Chat, right, that practically just saying, where do they get grain? And the answer was from non-Jews. And they said, that's great, except for the mitzvah, that doesn't help you. But that Gemara may have nothing to do with the Isser Chadash and everything to do with the mitzvah of Akrobat HaOmer. So again, that's Rove Poskim think that Lahalacha, as we saw reading the Torah in the Beit Yosef, and the Rambam, Chadash applies, Bein B'shel Yisrael, Bein B'shel Akum, in Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Yisrael. But we've seen that based on this Gemara, you have the beginnings of a possibility, at least it might be Dirabbanan, if it's in Chutz La'aretz, or if it's owned by non-Jews, or both. But the only thing that's going to get you quite to Mutter might be...
Is either that, or Baruch,
which is that it is a geographic Isser, but even the Dirabbanan extension... Right, that we pass Gengar Le'azer, but we extend it Midarabbanan to Chutz La'aretz, but not to everyone in Chutz La'aretz, only to the places next to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it is...
Is there a what other thing happened?
So we have that in Shemitah, right, that Syria has certain halachot of Shemitah, or Truman and Maisrot. Right, Truman and Maisrot, right, they're halachot in Syria. I mean, he's borrowing a model. It's not, he didn't make up a model. Right, he's borrowing a model that we see in other mitzvot Tluy Baretz. Yes, correct, because there's only in Syria, but the difference there, what? Correct, that's part of the problem. Right, we don't see that, but that's what he borrows. Okay, so now, that's certain Heterim. Now let's look at the Bach. And now he said, the Bach is going to be the last heter that we're going to see that is fundamental. Right? Meaning everything we're seeing now, Rabbi Vigdor, Rabbi Baruch, and the Bach, they're trying to say that maybe either we really paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Vigdor, or we paskin that it's Shalgoyim and Chutz La'aretz, it's Mutter, or it's only Asr Samoch L'Eretz Yisrael, whatever. These are fundamental heterim. What we're going to see, I think we might only get to the Bach today. We'll see. We have time, actually. That's all going to assume that we don't really paskin the way we thought we did. What we're going to see is that there's going to be another group of schools, as I said, that's going to assume, no, we really do paskin that Chadash is Asr in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael of Jews and non-Jews. And they're going to try to find a heter even within that rubric, right? Within that framework. And that's going to be the Rush and eventually the Rama. Okay? But the last sheet that we're going to see is going to try to fundamentally reject the Machmir position rather than find heterim within it is going to be the Bach. So the Bach writes about this a lot. So he, in one place that he writes about it extensively, as you can already see, is Simon Reish Tzadi Gimel and Yoredea in his commentary on the Torah, and the other place is in his Tshuvot. But I had mercy on you, and I only gave you one of them. Right? I only gave you one of them. The Tshuva is also very long. Perhaps even longer. I think it's even longer than the Perish on the Torah. But you'll get the main idea. So let's look at the Bach. So the Bach says in 12, Umashik Asav, Itzer Zenog Bein Bizman, right, so this is number 12. Got it? Bach, Reitz Adi Gemel, Yerodea. Mashkal Bizer Zenog Bein Bizman, Abai, Bein Shalob Bizman, Abai, It Bein Beretz Israel, Bein Uchot Zoretz, Bisof, Perakamet, Gidushin, Bad Nidin, Kol Mitzvah, Shit Lui Baretz, Ain no hagel baretz, v'chometz v'shein tlui baretz, no hagel baretz, v'chutz baretz, chutz min arno v'kilayim, v'lazor marav ha-chadash, he said, first place, again, he's just going to take you through the sugya, so this is a good chazara. He says, the first place to look is?
The Rambam.
Is the Mishnah and the Gemara in Kiddushin, where you have a machlokes, chachomim en Rebbe Eliezer, whether it applies in chutz baretz. Right? And he says, problem is, Pasku hapos ke malacha ke Rebbe Eliezer, Dizr Chadish b'chot zaret, udeloka Rav Baruch shameke v'kom rachok emeret Yisrael. And they pasken against Rabbeinu Baruch. Right? Good. Uma. So that's point one. Point two, Jew or non-Jew. Uma shekod v'ein b'shel yisrael v'ein b'shel goy, and that which we say to Asr, whether it's owned by a Jew or a non-Jew, ze eino mefurish b'talmud. The Gemara never explicitly talks about it. Gam arif rosh b'kiddushim v'sof psach v'chein haramba ilchos ma'achol asur kotev b'stam lechadosh asur b'chutz la'aretz. And even the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh, they just say it's Asr and Chutz La'aretz. They don't actually address the question of what if it's owned by non-Jews. But he said, I have a diuk that maybe the Rambam holds that it's not Asr if it's owned by Goyim, because the Rambam says that Orla applies even if owned by non-Jews, and Chadash, he doesn't say that explicitly. So Alma de Bechadosh Eini Suro Elo Bishel Yisrael. So maybe the Rambam holds that it only applies to things which are owned by Jews. Now give me a raya against that within the Rambam.
He says it's not.
The Rambam doesn't say it, but who does say explicitly that there is no such limitation?
His son,
the Chuvah we just read. You would think that if his father thought that it was Mutter if it was owned by non-Jews, then that would have been at least have entered the discussion of Rambam and Rambam. Rambam and Rambam takes it as a given that that's not what his father meant.
Does he always follow?
Not always, usually. But you would think that he would at least raise, like, he knew his father ate non-Jewish grain. You would think he would just at least have said that.
How come we don't follow? Like, he's not that popular.
What do you mean? I mean, no one's as popular as the Rambam, but what do you mean?
Like, I don't know, we don't really quote him or use him that often.
I do. Right. I mean, my God, at this year, we spend a long time, we read through the entire
Jewish world, that's
don't know. In my Hekdama to Agadata, I read through his Perushan on Agadatot, basically from beginning to end. I don't know. People quote his Tshuvot. He's right. He's not as popular as the Rambam, and some people don't even like his interpretation of the Rambam sometimes. But people do quote it. He's not like he's never quoted. He's, you know.
What's his most famous work?
He has a Perushan Agadatot, and he writes Tshuvot. I don't know. Which is his most famous work? I don't know what is most famous, but those are not well known. Right, Rishul David? Rambam ben Rambam, he's known. People don't quote him all the time, but like he's pretty not well known.
Yeah.
He's a parish on the Torah, which is nice also. People quote his parish on the Torah, his parish on the Gadat, and his Shuvot. I don't know. Yeah, he has some philosophical works also. He has philosophical works that people quote. I don't know. People quote it. People do quote it, I don't know. The Rambam. There's a lot of things explaining the Rambam. There are a lot of defenses of the Rambam. That's often when people quote him. It's his defenses in, you know, what's his name? Rav Nissim Habavli, right? And about the, we did this when we did, if you remember when we did the Machloket and how to understand, wait, Rav Daniel Bavli? Daniel? Whatever. Whichever Bavli it is. I always forget. Right, in the Tshuvat Ma'aseh Nisim, the back and forth about the Sefer HaMitzvot. Remember we did this when we started the Perek HaTzitzis on how do you count mitzvot, one mitzvah, four mitzvot, and stuff like that. So we did that back and forth about the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvot, and we did, it was a Machloket, no, in the Tshuvat Ma'aseh Nisim?
Yes.
It was a back and forth, the Rambam and the Rambam. So people do read his, they do. Again, he's not obviously not as popular as the Rambam, but who is? You know, like,
I don't think it's the Rambam, but some of these other contemporary...
I don't know. But again, so this attempt by the Bach to say that according to the Rambam, it's not Aser, it's owned by non-Jews, the Rambam and Rambam seem not to have been aware of such a position. But he said Tosvot, based on the Yerushalmi, says that it applies even to Goyim. Which Gemara was that? Again, that was the Yerushalmi by Chala. Right? We just saw. Right? And Chala doesn't apply by Goyim, which implies that Chadash does. And therefore he says that, that's hard. Next paragraph. Says Amnam. Okay, he said you're right. So it's hard, right? Maybe I could eke out a diuk on the Rambam that Chadash doesn't apply if it belongs to Goyim. Maybe I could have tried for Chutz Laaretz, but the Rishonim reject both, right? They reject both the geographic and the ownership considerations, and they say Bein Mishal Akum, Bein Mishal Yisrael, Bein Beretz Yisrael, Bein Chutz Laaretz. He says, well, what are we going to do? And now, just like Rav Avraham ben Rambam, he says, what's the problem? We need to defend the Minog. So what was Rambam and Rambam's answer?
Hello.
I know it's hard, too bad. But the Bach is a little bit later, and he's saying, okay, it's very nice to say too bad, but not only is it hard, but the Minog is to be Mekil. And as we know in Psak, and you've probably heard this from me many times, what are the three main factors that Poskim take into account when they're trying to determine what the Halacha is?
Will people listen?
What?
Past cases.
And the Gemara. Right, one is the canonical sources, right? Meaning the sources that are considered determinative of halacha, Gemara, Mishnah, things like that. Two is what a previous poskim said on the sugya. And the third is Minhag. Now, you see what he, right? So he says, within the sugya, it seems like you should be machmer. Even though you could eke out heterim. Within the precedent, he says, most poskim are machmer. Maybe I could eke out a heter in the Rambam.
Most poskim are machmer.
Or machmir, or stringent.
I thought, okay.
The Bach is talking. Right? The Bach is saying, before his time, the Rambam is machmir, the Rashi is machmir, the Tur is machmir, everyone's machmir. And he said, maybe I could eke out a heter in the Rambam, maybe a diuk, that it doesn't apply, but Tosfos says not that way. Tosfos says it applies even b'shal akum, based on the Yerushalmi. So, the simple pshat in the sugyot, at this stage is, usher. Simple pshat in the previous poskim is, Aser, but what's the problem? Minog. And Minog, now sometimes Poskim will just say, well, it's the Minog, so you know that follows. But often what they'll do is they'll say...
They'll justify.
Right, is that if there's a Minog that seems to go against the way Rishonim have understood the Sugya, so that's a reason for us to go back to the Sugya and try to re-understand it to defend the Minog. Now, why is this true? So we've talked about this before. So one is, one reason for this, again, briefly, but I've, you know, this is worth hours of shir, but one reason to be makel based on Minog is to assume, as the Gemara says in Psachim, that what the Jews do has a certain level of prophecy, like in it, imbibed in it. Right? And that's what the Gemara says in Psachim.
In regards to what?
So the Gemara there has the story that Hillel, when he came from Bavel to Eretz Israel and got appointed as the Nasi after proving that he, you know, was superior in his knowledge of Torah than B'nai B'Terah. So then they asked him, well, what do you do when you have to bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos? How do you get the knife to Yerushalayim? And he says, I forgot. But im ein neviim hem hanach lahem liYisrael, let the Jews do whatever they're going to do. Im ein neviim hem b'nei neviim hem. If they're not prophets, they're the children of the prophets, and their actions will indicate what the right answer is. And what happened? So the Jews took the knives and they put them between the horns of the goat or in the wool of the sheep and let the animals walk with the knife. And Hillel said, "Ah, oh, Kach lamati mi bishmaya v'avtalia. That's what I learned from Shmaya and Avtalia, and I just forgot. So, what some have noted is that if you take the phrase seriously, imein neviim heim, b'nei neviim heim, what you're saying is that the way the Jews, right, who keep the Torah, is itself a certain level prophetic, right? It has a divine inspiration in it.
But that's in the case where they don't know what to do, versus here the case is...
Another reason to go in this direction is that, right, the Rav has an argument about this in one place, is that maybe there's a belief that Hashem wouldn't allow Klal Yisrael to go that wrong, right? That the psak, you know, the process of psak is guided by the hand of God. Another possibility which is raised is that, what? So that's not clear. Wait. One second. So another formulation of why Minog is important in this respect is that there's an assumption, especially you find this in many times in the Balei Tosfot, they're not always, that they refer to the Jewish people as Kala Kadisha. They're holy. And there's this assumption that, look, Jews who keep the Torah and are committed to the Torah, presumably what they're doing, it just can't be wrong. Right? Like, all of Kala Yisrael can't be wrong because they keep the Torah. So if it looks like they're not keeping the Torah, we must be missing something. Now, that which Daniel says is ways that can't Minog be wrong. Yes, it can be. But there are even more radical formulations of this. So if you look, for example, in the Gonim say, no. If you have a machlok between Minog and the Bavli, which do you follow?
Bavli.
Minog. Bavli. And they say, why? The Gonim say, why? Because they say, the only reason we bother listening to the Bavli is because the Jewish people did. Meaning, the Bavli is only binding because of Minog. And therefore, they say that Iker is not Mavatel, the Tafel can't be Mavatel the Iker. The Iker is Minog. Minog is the main thing, and the Bavli is secondary. Because we only listen to Bavli because that's what the Jewish people did. And therefore, if it's a Machloket against the Minog and the Bavli, you follow the Minog. And then you want to fit it into the Bavli, fit it in later. But the Iker is Minog. Right? So that's an even more radical formulation.
Which is Mishnah.
Why do we accept the Mishnah?
Because it was given to Moshe.
It wasn't. The Machlokot?
Not the Machlokot. The basic halacha was.
Some of it is. Most of it is tradition. Right? Machlokot. It's people, it's the Chachamim figuring it out. So again, the sugya of Minog and why Minog is so important is very, very complicated. And, you know, we could really have when I say we can have a shiur on it, we have had many shiurim on this over the years that I, even just the 2 years I've been here, but it, you know, that was, most of you weren't here last year. I did it several times last year, and I think I gave it once this year, maybe just on a bet. Yosef is like, remember this? I think I gave it this year. I'm not really sure. But at any rate, it's clear that Minhag, at the very least, for all the reasons that I've said and maybe other reasons, motivates Poskim to at least attempt to defend it and re-examine the Sugya. And even if it goes against the simple understanding of the Sugya and precedent. But when the Minhag is overwhelming, Popes can really do try to defend. And that's what the Bach says. He says, look, when I first read the sugya, I first read the postgame, I would come le chumra. But to counterbalance that, I have this overwhelming minog that I need to defend. And therefore he says... Oh, wow, I did give you the whole Bach. Look at that, two whole pages. So he says... In many, many places.
Do you have a suggestion?
I mean, I can give you source sheets. Minog is, it's like, you know, it's scattered all over the place. So he says, Omnam ha-minog ha-pashut b'malchuteinu. But he said, what is, right, the minog pashut, meaning everyone holds this, is what? Linog heter. Af gidole ha-torah sh'ayilu. Not only... And this is not a regular minhagim. This is something you also find in poskim, which is that there's two types of minhagim. Minhagim that were sanctioned by the rabbinate and minhagim that were not. So he says, not only this is a regular minhag, the Maharik, in several famous tshuvot, says that when the Gemara says, minhag oker halacha, right, then minhag sometimes overrules halacha, that's only b'minhag shenitkan al pivatikin, that was set up by Tamid, or at least sanctioned by Tamid Chachamim. But a regular populist minag, you can't assume that it follows halacha. Maybe it's wrong. But the Bach says it's not even that type of minag. This is a rabbinic sanctioned minag. How does he know? Because he says, Moreno Rav Shachna Zal, Moreno Rav Shlomo Luria Zal. Right? So Rav Shachna, and who's Shlomo Luria? Also known as Marshal, the Amshur Shlomo. The Talmud Dehim, lo you also have chosen the Sheikhar. Again, they were drinking beer. Shanas mitvushalotira omer zulat miktar chasidim mikar of Nizru. He said, no one held Chadash until some very from people recently. Right? Some chasidim. Bizuzeva, anibi mechurfi, bilomdi mezeches kedushin, lefnei shloshim shana. 30 years ago, when I learned kedushin, samti elibi la'ayem borazo, I decided that I needed to look into the sugya, v'ra'iti she'en alucha psuka, and I realized that the isser was not clear cut. V'sha'alti ramor agadol, ma'arenu liba bar betzalel zal, I asked at one of the gedolim at the time, v'etzadi v'amashe aliti, I asked a bunch of gedolim, and no one could contradict me. He says, first of all, when the Yerushalmi said, why does it distinguish between chala and chadash, that's not within the position of Rabbi Eliezer. He says that's obviously according to the Tanakhama, but maybe Rabbi Eliezer, who holds the Chodesh is also in Chutz La'aretz, would hold that it's only Jews, meaning maybe it's a machloket that the Tanakhama holds that it's Aser even if it belongs to non-Jews, but only in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's also even in Chutz La'aretz, but only if it's owned by
Jews.
And then he goes, next paragraph. He says, maybe the reason Tosfos doesn't assume this is because he assumes that it's equivalent to Arla and Kilayim, which applies even to that which belongs to Jews. Said, not necessarily, just because it's like Kilayim and Arla doesn't mean they're absolutely equivalent. And then he brings a few proofs. And then he skips down to the Yerushalmi. from the Rosh, and he says, "My tasty lom de meimar de chadash lom ninog b'shel goy melo arlo de eino no hagas ella beretz yisrael afilachi no hagas bintinas goy." Orla doesn't apply in chutz laretz, but it does apply to what a goy plants. Kiditznan on the teva kolsh gein chadash inoig min atar b'chutz laretz. Now b'shel goyim v'chein akilaim no b'shel goyim v'ripasav gar kamish v'eirayim yushalmi. Mashli de lo brira le rayato rayas rimi yushalmi sharei. He said, you see, and this is a very, very sharp diuk, he says, the Rosh tries to prove that you're chayev in Chadash Misvara. But what does that mean? That means that he wasn't convinced of the textual proof in the Yerushalmi from Tosfot, because you don't need a Svara if you have an explicit source in Chazal. And therefore, it must be that he wasn't convinced that that was how you read it. And therefore, he thought that maybe there was another way of reading the Yerushalmi. Go to the next page. And therefore, he says maybe he retracted, etc. Next paragraph. Let me skip. Okay, the next paragraph goes through how you can't prove that applies for Goyim. So now let's skip down a few paragraphs. So Od Yesli Havi Raya Braya the Chadash Mutar B'Shel Goyim, right? Meaning he goes through a lot of work to saying maybe you can't prove that it applies even if it belongs to non-Jews. That's great. Meaning saying you can't prove it doesn't help us very much. We want at least one proof in favor of Heter, not just, right, negation of proof that it's Usser. Right, you want a positive proof. So let's see his attempt. He says, he said, what's his proof? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. That Izu is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Remember that we read. And remember, we said that one of the ways of reading the Gemara there, just like Rabbi Avigdor, is that if you could bring the grain from that which belonged to Goyim, what is it implying? Even before Pesach, that it doesn't apply. Right? That's how he reads it. Not the way we suggested, as maybe they just didn't have grain, and when it's saying that you came from Goyim, it's not, and then rejects it, it's not saying it doesn't apply, it's saying that's about the mitzvah, but not about the matir. He says, no. Maybe that sugya is telling you that if it belongs to non-Jews, there is no isur at all. That's what the Gemara is getting at. Therefore, and that's what it's getting at, it ain't Israel Chadash Ela Bishel Yisrael. That's what the Gemara wants from you. No, it's not talking about the mitzvah, it's talking about the matir. And he says that's also implied in the Likutei Maharil. And he quotes the Maharil, who says, Afal Gavdi Yishposh Gim Tzarek Lizar Bezeh Ho V'Lavach Yisrael Chadash B'chol Tzarek Midra Abonan Mikol Makom Anshe Maiz Mechirin Al Atzman. Right? He says, Maharil says that Chadash is only Dirabanan. He says, how could it be Dirabanan? He paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Chadash in Chotzar is also Midarabanan and Midaraita? Midoraita, so how could the Maharil say that Chadash is Dirabanan? What must he hold? He's by implication. No, he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. He says he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer.
Oh, that it's only the close.
So he says, not Reino Baruch, what he must hold is that it belongs to non-Jews, then it's only us and Midarabanan, which means that he thinks that even if you paskin Rabbi Eliezer, Chadash is owned by non-Jews, might not be Asur Midoraita, at least. But then he goes farther in the next paragraph. He says, okay, so maybe I have a diuk from the Maharil that it's Asur only Midorabanan, but that doesn't help us. I mean, it helps a little bit, but doesn't solve the problem totally, because
it's easier to make a head turn.
You're right. But he says, came Midoraita in Isra B'shal Goyim, but he says, no. I think that if it's true that it's not Asur, if it's owned by non-Jews, Mehechetez in La Asur Midorabanan, why would you forbid it derabanan lechadish gzera and to make up a gzera derabanan? The Israel shall nemra b'talmud. To me, Rishami like a raya klal kedepreaches. Like I'm a raya to go to my rosh. Lomad v'kavachomer me arla gam kein kvar nidches. We talk mashu kasafti at the rosh and it's chadish odechiel a raya. A rosh, he says, I don't think it's true because you have no raya Once you say that it's not biblical, there's no reason for it to apply midrabanan bishel goyim. And he said maybe that it would be different, right? Maybe Orla applies bishel goyim. And he says, here's my svara. He says, maybe Arla in Eretz Yisrael definitely applies to Goyim. And that's why Midrabanan might apply in Chutz La'aretz. But if you think that Chadash doesn't apply Bishal Akum, that's true, in Israel or outside of Israel. And therefore, since when we set up the Rabbanans, how do we set them up? Called the Tekken Rabbanan Kein Daraita Tekken. We model it on Daraitas. So if you think that you're not Chayev, right, that Chadash is not applicable to that which belongs to non-Jews, even in Eretz Yisrael, so then there wouldn't be any reason to Aser in Chutz La'aretz. Or you can even argue, right, that maybe, why, man, maybe going back to Rabbeinu Baruch, why might you say that it's Mutter in Chutz La'aretz owned by non-Jews? Because he would say, it's not Aser Midaraita. And maybe it would be Asher Midrabanan if it had one of the two factors, but if it has both factors, Lakula, so then not only would it be Mutter Midaraita, but maybe you could argue it would be Mutter Midrabanan. And therefore the Bach says, not only do I think it's Mutter, but I think it's Mutter even Midrabanan, because I don't see where you would come up with this Takana. And then he quotes again from Rabbeinu Avigdor, who says that Chadash and Chutzar doesn't apply B'shem, B'shel Goyim. And then he says, maybe this is true in the Halacha Gedolot as well. His Adiyuk in the Bahag. And he says, maybe, skipping down, maybe Shal Tshuva Zusam Chag Gedol Mishal Faneinu. Alfina Nira Barod Afa Gav Dalach Gavir Lazar in Lazar B'shal Goyim Ikra Halacha. And he says, look, I paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. I think it is Asher in Chutz La'aretz. But only if it's owned by Jews. But the Ikra Din, I think Rabbi Eliezer would say that it's not Asher B'shal Akum.
How do you define Jewish ownership?
And then he says, maybe even the Tosfos, one second, he says, maybe even Tosfos, who says that he quotes from the Yerushalmi that applies to Bishal Goyim, he says, maybe the Yerushalmi held that way in one place, but maybe Tosfos himself didn't. Maybe he thought that's what the Yerushalmi held, but that doesn't prove. Again, he does a lot of these. And let's just finish the Bach, and then we'll summarize it. He says, look, four lines from the bottom. He says, Lochein ein l'shum gadol l'horos ha-ra'a le'esur. Hefech haminag, and therefore no posek should paskin l'chomra against the minag. Shenagu al pigdoli Yisrael laheter, and because they were relying on the gedolim, umisha rotzel lahachmir laasmo midas chasidusu. You want to be machmir? Do it for yourself. V'lo yoralo chir. When let's finish. Don't paskin for others. Delesi laansuye, so people won't fight. V'dafka, and he says you're not even allowed to be machmir. Unless b'misha horgel b'shar precious and before some lechoset, unless you are someone who always is very machmir and is known as a righteous person, rashai linog leser gambazo, then you're allowed to be machmir if you want here, but nobody else is allowed to, and that is the position of the Bach.
First of all,
shoot your questions.
Does anyone argue that you can't be that? I'm sure there's a post like after him that is Machmer, even though the Minhag isn't.
Correct, we're going to see that. Didn't I say we're going to go through this slowly and methodically? I said we would.
That either you have to always be Machmer or not makes no sense, because if you do the Sugya, and sometimes you think it makes sense to be Machmer, sometimes it doesn't, then you
Good, so what's motivating him? What's motivating him is that he thinks that if someone who's not super Machmer in general is going to be Machmer, so there's a few reasons here. One is he thinks it's going to be Motzi Laz. Right, that if you are machmir and you're not like the frumest person in the world, it's going to impugn the righteousness of other people, right? And he doesn't want to do that. And furthermore, he thinks the minog is enough of a reason to compel us to go back to the sugya. And
it should be the opposite. People are going to be lenient on purpose because they want to be. There's no reason for someone to be machmir because they want.
So there's a category in halacha called yuara, religious presumptuousness, and he thinks that in this case it's so against the minog. That you can't even. Now, this is quite extreme because you could have said, look, don't paskin for other people, sir, because, look, that's against the minhag. That's one thing. right? To say that you're not even allowed to be machmir, right? That is quite a statement, because that means he's so worried about your right, he's so worried about religious presumptuousness, he's telling you, even if you're lead the sugi and you're convinced the chomer, you're not allowed to be machmir. You're right. It's very, very wild.
It doesn't apply to something that isn't halacha. That's the halacha.
Good, that's what most posts can assume, 100%. And the Bach is very problematic on this. Now, of course, he doesn't think that it's the halacha, right? He comes up with his with his explanation. Okay, so let's summarize what we've seen. So we've seen is that basically, if you want to be Mekel, right? So today we've finished the positions who want to be Mekel fundamentally. Lehalacha, after all that complexity, the Bach thinks, what's the source of the heter? Minhag is what motivated him to look at the sugya, that's for sure. But what's the actual claim he hangs his hat on? Goyim. That if it belongs to Goyim, even in Eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't be us midoraita. He doesn't really say what would be midorabanan, but definitely in Chutz La'aretz, because called deraisa, called rabanan, called tikkun rabanan, came deraisa tikkun. So if in Eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't be us mishal Goyim, then Chutz La'aretz is mutter lechatchila. That's the Bach's conclusion. Reinu Baruch, so he takes an ownership limitation. Now, Rabbi Avigdor and others say, maybe we paskin like the Chachamim, but that only helps you, right? They focus not on ownership, but on geography, which again makes sense, because we saw that a lot of the geography here makes sense, because why would it be based on geography? Because it's a mitzvah tli baretz, right? That we saw makes sense. Saying that it's based on ownership is very mechudash, because that goes much more towards Chiyuv Gavra. Right? And remember, Chiyuv Gavra, we talked about that there is an element of Chiyuv Gavra here, but it's much closer to a mitzvah tluya baretz. So if you don't want to accept the ownership position, so what if they go in the direction of geographic concerns? Now, Rabbi Avigdor only gets you part of the way there, because he says, we paskin like the Chachamim, but that means that it's Aser and Chutz La'aretz midirabanan. Right, because remember that Mishnah? Right, the Mishnah said that Chadash is also Mida Oraita, Orla, Halacha Moshe Misinai, and Kilayim, Midirei Sofrim, which implies that even the Chachamim would be Cholek on Rabbi Eliezer, would say that there wouldn't be argument a Katzela Katzela. It's not that Rabbi Eliezer would say it's also Mida Oraita, and the Chachamim would say it's Mutra Lechatchila. What would they say? It's also midrabanan, just like Arla and Kilayim. Right? It'd be very unlikely that they would argue 180 degrees.
What's the reason to make it aser midrabanan?
The same reason you do by Arla and Kilayim, right? Meaning there's, in general, we don't assume that a machloket is from one extreme to the other unless we know. But the context in that Mishnah sounds not that way. And that seems to be the implication of the Gemara and Kiddushin as well. So Rabbi Avigdor at least gets us as far as saying maybe it's Dirabana. Now that will help us in Sveikot, it won't help us in Vadai, but it will get us a decently far way. If you wanted to go the geographic direction and go all the way Lakula, so what would you do? So you have two ways, right? One is to say that, like Rabbeinu Baruch, that even the geographic dirabanan is only, it's like Truma, it's limited to places which are Samuch, but as long as you're not living in Syria or Jordan or Egypt, not only is it mutter midoraita, but it's even mutter midrabanan. Or where Rabbeinu Baruch raises, which may be related to what the Bach is talking about, which is that if it has both factors, it's owned by non-Jews, and it's in Chutz La'aretz, so then it's fine. Now, I will just tell you that really, Rosh Hashanah thinks that the reason that the Minhag Klal Yisrael was to be Mekel is like the Bach. He thinks the Bach is right. Right? That the justification for the Minhag is that we just don't pass and apply is Bishel Goyim. So that is, that's how he thinks you'd have to justify the Minhag.
Other Rishon was like, no.
Correct, but if you... Correct, but if you have this overwhelming Minhag at this point for 800 years, which we'll see... There is. So he thinks that the real justification for it is that we just must hold a principled position that is not us, sir. But we'll see tomorrow. I don't think we're going to have time, so maybe let me... Yeah. So this is, like I said, there's this group of poskim who are makeil for fundamental reasons. But, as we'll see, as Daniel correctly notes, the majority view in the Rishonim was that we paskin like Rebbe Eliezer, the Chodesh applies even in Chodesh Laaretz Midoraita. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah we just say is about the mitzvah, not the matir element. And as in the Yerushalmi, where it sounds like even Bishal Goyim, it is Usur. Right? Like Tosos is Medayik in Kedushin, based on the Yerushalmi and Chala. Right? So the simplest shot was that we're machmir on both counts. So what we'll see is that a whole different school of thought emerged. And this is the one that actually gets recorded in the Ramah. Right? The Ramah takes the approach based on the Rush, who says, it's true. We paskin like Rebbe Eliezer. The Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is Asur Midaraita. And we paskin that it's Asur Bein Mishael Yisrael Bein Mishael Akum. Right? Like all the diukim that we saw in the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, the Mishnah, the Chule, Zeu. But Svek Sveka. But the Rush comes up with, and the Rama records it, a Svek Sveka, a double Suffolk. A double Suffolk.
What's the Derisus though?
Ah, but what's the Halacha? In general, the Halacha is that Svek Sveka is Lekula.
Even Derisa.
Even Derisa. The Gemara in Ketubah, Daftet. Main sugya, sveika is lakula, even midaraita. Now there's a problem though. Okay, now in general, maybe I'll give you a 5-minute introduction to svek sveika. There are two main approaches to why that's true. The Rajba simply says, rov tzadim leheter. That once you have double sveika, it's something like a rov, or a super rov. That once you have a svek sveika, a second order suffake, so, you know, it's probably mutter. It's like a rove, so it's mutter. The Primagadim is very fancy lamdus, and he says, no. The Rambam holds that the rule suffik d'oraita l'chumra is itself only midirabanan, according to the Rambam. Right? That biblically, all sveikot go l'kula. But rabbinically, biblical sveikot go l'chumra, and rabbinic sveikot go l'kula. And therefore he says, but if you have a second order suffik, it's a suffik on the rule of Savik Daraita L'chumra, which becomes Darabanan, which reverses the rule of Savik Darabanan L'kula. Which is very fancy. The Lumdus is very interesting, but that's not what I need you to pay attention to right now to understand the Rush, and tomorrow I want you to read the Rush and the Rama, okay? At least the Rush and the Rama. That's good, okay, right? I skipped over the Rush, but I want you to read the Rush and the Rama. So the Rush says, oh, please tell me I included the Rama. I thought I did. Sheesh. Okay, I'm going to have to send you that one line in the Rama, which apparently I didn't include, or fell off, or who knows what. I know. Well, you haven't gotten to it yet. It's based on the Rush, and it's quoted in everybody. Very odd, very odd. I really thought I put it. Okay, I'll send it to you. It's fine. The Ramah is not that long. The Rush is what's much longer. So the Ramah is not a big deal for me to send it to you by WhatsApp. Here's the problem that I need you to pay attention when you read the Rush. There's a normal rule that the poskim take, which is the Svek Sveka doesn't work if it's a Svek Sveka Mitzad Echad. Now, what's a Svek Sveka Mitzad Echad? It can't be that the two Svekot are really reducible to a single question. Because then, it's not really a double suffix. So, like if I say, you know, am I wearing, you know, green shoes? Right? You can't say, well, probably not. Because you might be wearing blue shoes, and even if you're not wearing blue shoes, you might be wearing red shoes. So you see, on balance, it's likely that you're not wearing green shoes. Right? Like, that's nonsense, right? It's one question. Am I wearing green shoes or am I not wearing green shoes?
Or are you wearing green shoes or are you wearing shoes at all?
Or whatever. Right? No, so that would be a svek sveka.
Right.
A svek sveka, right. Good. That's a good svek sveka. A svek sveka would be, am I wearing green shoes? Well, you say, on balance, probably not. Why? Suffolk, you're wearing shoes at all. And even if you're wearing shoes, they might not be green. That would be a perfectly fine svek sveka, right? Because those are two different sveka which build on each other. To get you towards, on balance, the answer being what you want it to be. But Svekspeka mitzad Echa doesn't make any sense. What we'll see is that the Ramah / Rush's Kula sounds very much like a Svekspeka mitzad Echad. So what we're going to do tomorrow is try to survey the halacha, try to understand the... Now, we can do this in either direction you want. We can either spend tomorrow trying to understand the Ramah, right? And if you want to do that, so let me tell you what to do, okay? If you want to spend tomorrow figuring out the Ramah, so then I'll send you the Ramah, right? Read the Rush that he's based on, which was number... Where was the Rush? The Rush was number 9, the Tshuva of the Rush. I'll give you the Ramah. And then skip to sources 21 and on. Right? And I'll try to explain what I think the Lamdus is in the Ramah. Oh, and look at the Aruch HaShulchan. Right? And then we'll try to understand the Ramah. My guess is that we'll have one or two more days, right? Tomorrow we need to understand the Ramah, and then tomorrow we can either get into the Ramah in depth, and then spend one day summarizing how does this play out l'halacha, right? I doubt we're going to get that all done tomorrow, but it's possible, right? Meaning right now we've seen half the Tzadim L'Kula, tomorrow we have to deal with the Ramah, and then I want to actually show you inside at least. And again, if we get to it tomorrow, great. If we don't get it tomorrow, we'll spend one more day. Is to see how this plays out. I mean, what did the poskim actually say? Because what we're going to see is that even within the Notzei Kehilim on Shulchan Aruch, it's not so simple how they're poskim. And I want to read the Mishnah Berurah with you, because the Mishnah Berurah, even though Lamdishli, he doesn't add that much, right? Meaning, he recapitulates a lot of what we've seen, but what I think is, and I've mentioned it several times, is this notion that it's not an all-or-nothing proposition. That even if you think that, you know, it's impossible for you, Lamaisa, to be makvit on Chadash, Lagamre, that doesn't mean that you should give up on it entirely. And the really the father of that, of saying, look, you know, let's just because you can't keep it all doesn't mean you have to throw it all in the garbage and say we're Mekel, you know, without any concern for this, that's from the Mishnah Berurah. So I do want you to at least see that inside. I want you to understand it, even though I could, you know, I basically said it for you outside. I do want to see you see inside. If at some point you feel like you are, as and I've said this to you before, that you are getting lost in the details and want to take a little bit of a summary break to remind you where we are. So again, in number 20, I gave you the link to Ray Shlomo Brody's J-Post article on it. But you have his book, don't you? So it's there also. Yes, it is there. So if you want a brief summary of the issues, you'll see that it's there, and you'll see that you'll understand, right? Because we've gone through the main Makarot, what it is. My guess is it's going to take us two more days, because, you know, like I said, this is not a sugya I want to rush. I want you to really understand where the halakhic positions that people take are based on, so that by the end you can make an informed decision, and no one can say that it was me who said you should be machmir. Right? I'm not telling you anything. I'm just learning the sugya with you. No one come back screaming at me that I called your kitchen strafe. I said nothing. I'm learning the sugya with you. I'm defending the minhag. I'm explaining why not everyone's happy with the minhag. That's all I'm doing. I'm not passing for you. I don't feel like taking that on my shoulders. It's not my... What? I'm not poskin anything. Like with Yosef, I didn't poskin. I told him, ask your rabbi. But I'm telling you, he's going to be machmir. And he's like, no, it's some Ashkenazi chumra. I said, no, it's an Ashkenazi kula. There is no Sephardi kula. And Baruch Shekivanti, that was what his rabbi said, is that in Echanami, the Ashkenazim have kulos they can rely on, but Sephardim have to be machmir. That's what I told you he was going to say.
Wait, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that one. So if you would like, okay, I'll end on this. If you don't want to read the online version, you would actually like to look at a book, you can ask Daniel to borrow his Guide to the Complex. Yeah, right? Yeah. No, Complex. No. The Guide to Complex by Ray Brody, where he has a 4-page English summary of basically everything we've seen. But now you'll see inside where it comes from, and at least you'll have your bearings. So let's try to finish this in 2 days from now, so that today is Monday. So by Wednesday, let's try to be finished with this, and you'll understand where these issues come from. You know, I also, if you guys, you know, at some point feel overwhelmed by the sources and want to see it, Lamaisa, I'd also say it's, you know, go online, go to the kosher organization of your choice that you rely on and just search it and see what the policies are. Because you'll see that it's shifting, right? That it used to be that no one even cared, and now the kosher organizations are starting to care. Not like they're, you know, in America, they're not going to, they'll still give a hechsher or something, which is Safek Hadash, but they will now give you guidelines. This is true of the OU, this is true of the COR.
Why do they care?
That's what you have to understand, because you see how we've presented, like, even if in the end of the day we decide we can rely on the Ramah, you can rely on the Bach, you see, it's not Pashut at all, right? This is something that people have been struggling with. Oh, you mean, why do they care to be Mekel?
Yeah.
Oh, because the Minhag has been that way for 800 years, and that's why I said, even though I could just summarize this for you in 45 minutes, I could have given you the whole summary. The reason I'm spending a week on it is because, right, this is an 800-year-old problem at least, 900-year-old problem. I want you to understand it really well and understand why people are struggling and why, despite the fact that there's an 800-year-old Minhag to be Mekel, why people are becoming more machmir. It's becoming more in to be machmir on Safek Chadash, and I want you to understand why. Now, part of it has to do with halacha, which is what we're seeing now. Part of it, as we'll see, has nothing to do with halacha, has to do with that even some of the Sfeikot in the Ramah may not be true nowadays, that we can actually trace our grain. Right? That's part of it, is that it may be that there is no Safek. So we're going to have to talk about that, okay? But we'll try to do this in two more days. That's no promises, but that's my goal. We've seen the main sheet.